Morning. I don't know about you, but I think I'm one of the frozen chosen. I'd like to just do a quick complimentary statement for our musicians and presenters that are faithfully performing for us week by week. Several years ago, we used to have just one presenter do the whole part. And then Pastor Clark and I discussed that wouldn't it be reflective of the corporate nature of our worship if we had all the presenters sing together. The downside of that is if you're not precise, it gets a little choppy and it isn't clean and perfect. Guys, that was awesome today. Thank you. Our readings, if you're paying particular attention, have a lot of common themes, but one of the themes that I think I want to reflect on for us this morning is the work and presence of the Holy Spirit in creation, in Genesis, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, right there at creation, transforming, forming, making. In Acts 19, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, the Holy Ghost bringing the knowledge of heaven to man, making a major impact and change, part of God's way of working with men and women. In the gospel reading in chapter 1, and straightway coming out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him, preparing Jesus for his ministry. And then, of course, in the psalm that we just sang, near the end, thou sendest forth thy Spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. So we see the Holy Spirit active in earth with people and in time. And by the way, the robustness of Psalm 104 is very corporate. It really is. I feel we are a better bride right now for our Lord than before we sang it. Now, the Holy Spirit, to me, through these four readings, very clearly we see his character, his function, his creative influence. We could go on and on and on. But I think we best see him, us as individuals, but us working with us corporately, preparing his bride for Jesus. I recently had an opportunity to be in a production of Christmas Carol, the musical version of it, at the Rochester Opera House. It was an involved production. I still think it was a mistake that I got chosen to be a part of it, but so be it. I really did. I said that they must think I'm one of my sons or something. At any rate, it was a four-month ordeal, and it was an ordeal. It was very, very, very taxing, a lot of commitment. We had a superb, superb cast, superb direction, and really I was in the midst of many professionals, the best in our area. The result was an outstanding production, and a few of you here saw it. The story was told in a unique way. We even had a African-American Scrooge, of all things. It was well worth the time. The audiences were entertained and left uplifted when they left. So we were successful as actors to do the work. But during the months of rehearsal and leading up to that time, it sure didn't feel like it. You know, there were times that challenges were rife throughout. Not everyone can make every rehearsal because these actors are so good. They have other productions they're involved in, and work commitments, family commitments, and so forth, including the director and the leaders couldn't make everything. But it was, and there was 22 actors. I may have been missing one or two. We even had a couple of middle schoolers from Tri-City, Ellie and Maddie, who were in the play as well. We had various degrees of acting experience. Mine was the least. Having a large enough practice area was often a challenge. And what was probably the worst thing is we were delayed in getting onto the actual stage for Tech Week. That's where you finalize your blocking, where everyone's going to be, the choreography. When you're in a different area and you're dancing all over the place, you may run into the side of the stage that wasn't there for practice. Getting the lighting right, crucial, the sound, proper placement, so forth. Along with these vicissitudes, we often rehearsed out of sequence of the story. And that was due to the actors available, perhaps when the music director could be there, bunches of reasons. So it could appear kind of chaotic at times. How are we ever going to get this production off the ground? However, we had a director who was superb, who served us well, well prepared, and never gave an indication that things were out of control. It was really very important. And she began every rehearsal with someone had to say something positive that either happened to them or someone they know or something to that aspect. And her whole point was, we're focusing on this rehearsal, and let's get ourselves in a proper frame of mind. And I thought, how appropriate. And that really, I think, served to help overcome the challenges of the rehearsals and getting ready for the production. Well, anyone who's done theater, and I know some of you have, hello, that's what they call theater. It's haphazard. It can be chaotic. It never goes perfectly according to plan. That's theater. Nature of the beast. Well, you might say that Bill Belichick, and those of you who don't know the New England Patriots, but Bill Belichick is famous for saying, just do your job. And as actors, we take care of your responsibility, trust in your leadership to take care of everything else, trust your neighbor, your fellow actors to do theirs. Good approach. I tell you that story to tell you that I think that's a picture of the church, in particular, perhaps our church here in Tri-City. Not in every way, but in some ways. We can draw out some examples and some parallels that might be helpful to us. Not everyone can make worship every Sunday. We seem to have a few people not present today. Can't make every wedding we're invited to. We can't make every men's dinner, work day, in our corporate gatherings. We also range in ages from the newborn Canaan Roundtree to Deacon Emeritus Frank Morrow. Varying degrees of gifting, varying degrees of faithfulness. And it can appear at times when our plans as a corporate body get changed or we have to modify. Sometimes the weather disrupts things, sometimes things of that nature that aren't in our purview happen. It may seem that sometimes things look a little bit out of sort, off kilter, if you will, and certainly in our private lives as we go establish the kingdom in our various callings. Things at work don't always go according to Hoyle. It doesn't always make a lot of sense what's going on here. Haphazard is kind of a nice way to think. But as we establish his kingdom and as we gather as the bride of Christ here, we have a supreme director. Christmas Carol had a great director, but we have supreme, eternal, the best director. And he knows exactly what he's doing. And we need to be, just like those actors were, we need to be mature enough to know that this is the kingdom. It's the nature of the beast. As I thought about that, the picture we're really looking at is the progressive aspect of sanctification. And for those of you who haven't thought about it, there's 3 points that we usually talk about on sanctification. Definitive, done judicially, we're right with God through Christ. The final aspect of it, glorification at the end. But that second one is that ongoing or that progressive nature of sanctification. I think of like a sculptor and sculpting away. You've got a piece of granite, this big rectangle, And he's going to, he's got a vision in his head or her head and starts chipping away. And at first, the big chips come off, and that's pretty easy. Those come off fairly easy, pretty quickly. Reminds me of early in our walk. God can chip away those simple areas pretty easy because they're obvious. As time goes on, however, and as the sculpture actually begins to develop, take form, and you need to smooth out and put all the detail on, some of those little nicks with the hammer and chisel can be very annoying, can be very painful. And as we walk further in our maturity, those things can hurt. And that's actually a good thing. No one enjoys it, but it is a good thing. I had a tooth pulled in last summer, a piece of cake, just make it all numb and make it happen. And she couldn't get that tooth out to save her life. I had this vision that she's going to put both legs on the chair and yank it out that way. It would not come up the root or whatever. So she finally was able to do it, but I was in that chair for an hour. That wasn't pleasant. Sometimes our nature is like that, as individuals and corporately. So therefore, God has given us this means of grace that we call progressive sanctification in order to shape us as a sculpture, to rid us of our sin, and prepare us for battle, because actually we're on the offense. We end every worship with, "Go ye therefore into all the world." We're on a mission. And we have to be an army that's prepared and able to do that. Now, the really good news for us is that God's provided a means of grace that we enjoy every week, and that's covenantal renewal worship. I should say, more precisely, corporate Trinitarian covenantal renewal worship, because it's certainly a corporate entity, enterprise, and it's, our liturgy is Trinitarian to the core, all three of our liturgies. And as opposed to our establishing the kingdom during the week, which can sometimes look in disarray or feel that way, and sometimes, yeah, it is in disarray. We can come here, we have a pattern, we have order, we have a reminder that God is certainly in control. We come up and sit in his throne room. Amazing. And that progressive sanctification, the way we get strengthened to endure it, is what we do here. It's where we learn about heaven. Heaven's perspective. Learn about God. The Lord's Prayer we actually pray or sing, depending on the setting. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We go out into the earth to make it more like heaven. Well, we don't do that on our wonderful skills and abilities, do we? Okay, we need to be infused with the Holy Spirit. And he's there creation. And he's there during reforming and shaping and building. And so he is in our lives. Now we have five aspects to all three of our liturgies, right? We begin with the call. All three have the call. We have actually the music, that the prelude. Then the lights go on and we have royal accompaniments. We have trumpets, cymbals, all kinds of percussion. The lights go on. And the Spirit was there when God said, "Let there be light." Makes sense as we come into the presence of our Heavenly Father. There's dialogue, both spoken and sung. God is the writer. Our doxologies are Trinitarian to the core. In setting three, we actually use Psalm 100, and then that last verse, we sing the doxology. Same idea. Pastor will read a scripture, the opening scripture, and then he'll say, "Our help is in the name of the Lord." We respond with, "Who made heaven and earth?" And the Holy Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. Those who know the scriptures that he is moving and making and shaping, transforming. In setting two, we sing the Benite, however, Te Deum. And then in the midst of the salutation, the pastor says, "Our help is in the name of the Lord," and we respond with, "Who made heaven and earth?" So Psalm 124 is vital to our corporate liturgy. Prior to the confession, the second aspect, we say, come, let us worship in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we respond with, we come in spirit and in truth. What is it, just a spirit of, does that feel good? We come with the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. Our Mark reading, our Acts reading, the Holy Spirit's within us. In the Te Deum, we actually sing the Holy Ghost also being the Comforter. And of course, that's right from the Gospel of John 14 and 15, where he's going to teach us all things, bring things into remembrance, and he shall testify of Jesus. And the, that aspect, I think, if Jesus was speaking to his disciples, but I think applicable to us. When we get to the second aspect of confession, we pray, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us a true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word. We just said that. We pray it every week. So our readings, I think, reflect the importance of the Holy Spirit. And I think as we start our new year, that's just good to keep in mind. All three settings, when we get to the third aspect of consecration, all three settings, the true knowledge is presented in a couple of different forms. There's always an Old Testament reading. There's always a New Testament reading. There's a corporate prayer. We sing a psalm. And there's a gospel reading. And then before, after that, we recite, we either sing or recite a creed. Settings one and two is the Nicene Creed. Setting three, we do the Apostles' Creed. The Nicene Creed, within it, we sing, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary. And there we see the Holy Spirit again. So we sing of that every week. The Apostles' Creed, we say, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost. I mean, we do this all the time. We're very familiar with it. But it's important, I think, as we approach this new year, that we remember this, of his presence in our lives. And then, of course, with the Lord's Prayer. When we go to the fourth aspect of communion, which we will shortly, we say, send us your Holy Spirit, that we who receive this food may live to the praise of your glory and receive our inheritance with all your saints and lights. And there we have that aspect of inheritance. The Holy Spirit continues to work within us and corporately this generation and beyond. And all your saints and lights. And again, we see that aspect of light. The Holy Spirit was there when God said, let there be light. He's beautifying us. We're praying for to be beautified. And I know you can't make me too pretty. But obviously we're talking about the person, our character, who the inner person is. And just like the sculpture. And some of us are still blocks of stone just starting out like young Canaan. And some of us have that well-weathered look like Frank. And the rest of us are in between somewhere. Some of us are closer to Frank than maybe you care to be, I don't know. But anyway. And then our commission, of course. That's the, we've come to the presence of the Lord. We've been given the truth in many different forms. We've spoken and sung the truth. And now we're commissioned. We're made fit to be in the army. We recite all three settings, the Great Commission. And we're supposed to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our scriptures from today remind us that our liturgies emphasize that the Holy Spirit is working to transform us as individuals and corporately to better perform as the bride of Christ. Covenantal renewal embraces us to remember that all things are purposeful. We have a purpose. I've just gone through a few of those things. Our liturgies are purposeful. They were written down and formed over a long period of time to fulfill a purpose, and obviously to honor God, but provide the means of grace God uses to grow us up, to mature us. You can't do that in the prayer closet by yourself. You can't do that anywhere else but in corporate worship. There's something very special about this time and place. Not the building, God's blessed the building, don't get me wrong. You think of the blessings that have happened in this building and this property, it's amazing. But we don't want to get so wrapped up in the actual building. You get what I mean? Our gathering, as Peter said, we're built on the foundation of Christ, and we are the building. The director knows what he's doing. That was a few years ago when I was directing music concerts and so forth. The director didn't always know what he was doing, but that's all. We're at the new year, and a lot of people, formulate some resolution, something they're either not going to do anymore. I'm going to go on a diet. I'm going to do this. No, I'm going to be a better person or something. You got your friends and so forth. And there's a industry, publishing industry, based on how to improve yourself, how to get people to like you, how to love yourself. I mean, the gambit. It's just unbelievable. And most of that stuff is devoid of any sense of our nature as sinners. But any regard to the Lord and His teaching, most of it is junk. I'm not going to say it's all junk because I haven't read it all. And I don't tend to, by the way, but that's another story. But my point is man often has these wonderful ideas of how to make change, how to change ourselves. And when it's man-derived, it's doomed to fail. Our best effort, whatever your New Year's resolutions may or may not be, what I want to urge you is to recommit yourself anew. We're going to do that next Sunday, South Sunday. Embrace. Pursue more fervently your sanctification individually and all of us as a corporate body. Let us pursue sanctification fervently in 2018. Allow the Holy Spirit to teach you all things. Let Him guide you in all things. Let Him renew you, shape you, beautify you, and transform you. And not just not just me, the us. The us is huge. The us is the bride of Christ. And after all, we're supposed to seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. And we do that in our corporate worship every Sunday. I hope what I've discussed this morning is helpful. Most of it's a reminder, probably. But our corporate nature in our liturgies are God's means of grace to grow us up, among other things, but to grow us up, mature us, so that when young Canaan becomes is to be our age, think of the advance the kingdom will have made with this particular church and with others. Thank you.